Welcome to The Two-Man Game. I'm your host, Landon Holland, and with me as always, the biggest Josh Giddey fan out there, Xavier Rocha.
What's up, Dando? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We got one more day till the play-in tournament starts, and then we get right into the playoffs. It's a great time of the year.
I mean, the best time of the year. Most would say.
So, do we want to jump right into it? Talk about our first play-in matchup?
Yeah, let's get right into it.
All right, so tomorrow night we get Cleveland at Brooklyn for the 7-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference. What are your initial thoughts on this matchup?
So do you like want to do predictions and stuff?
Yeah, let's jump right into predictions and then we can go from there.
Okay, well, to start with this matchup, I think most people are taking Brooklyn, and I'm going to have to side with Brooklyn as well. I just think Cleveland's kind of been skidding as of late due to injuries and stuff, and I mean, Brooklyn with their duo and KD and Kyrie just kind of are too powerful for this young Cavs team, and I mean, I just think the Nets are just going to show up and kind of won't be a close contest.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go with Brooklyn too here, but I think this game might be closer than a lot of people think. These teams actually played in a big game like a few nights ago for like the winner of their game a few nights ago decided kind of where this game would be played. And Brooklyn jumped out to an early big lead, but then the Cavs crawled back into the game, and still they didn't have Jarrett Allen, who should be available for this game. And I think as like their second best player all year, Jarrett Allen will serve as a big presence in the middle and hopefully help this Cavs team make this a better contest than most people think.
Has Allen played, or will this be his first game back?
No, he hasn't played in like 5 weeks or something, but...
And yeah, I mean, to me, that just kind of... It's kind of, I feel like, especially getting... Like, this is like playoff atmosphere, and I just feel like it's going to be tough. Like, I don't think he's going to play terrible, but it's just going to be tough for him to kind of get thrown in against a super, like, veteran team like the Nets, and with two stars like Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I just think it's going to be kind of tough for him to get thrown in and make a super big impact like you're predicting, but...
Yeah. I don't think the Cavs are going to win this game, but I think if they can make this a close game and get some great experience against a high-level team, like that will serve them very well for the 8-9 matchup if they lose this game. And then even if they fail to make the playoffs, I just think this play-in tournament's going to be great for the development of their young guys and just like getting ready for next year as they try to make a push at a top 6 seed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, big games like this are always good for young players coming up. And I mean, for a player like Garland and then Mobley in his first year getting to play in this kind of atmosphere is going to be great for them.
Yeah, and I don't know what you think, but I think even if Cleveland fails to make the playoffs, this year has been a definite win for Cavs fans as Garland's taken a big step and Mobley is probably the rookie of the year. And just so much growth from a lot of their young guys. I think this season has definitely been a win for the Cavs team.
I mean, yeah, the Cavs are just kind of like a team that no one saw really doing as well as they like were doing before their injuries. And I mean, you look forward to what they could be eventually with Mobley getting better and even Garland still getting better. I mean, they're going to be super dangerous.
Yeah, and they were one of the teams that were derailed with injuries more than anybody, especially at the end of the season with Garland going out for a week or two and then Allen being out for a long period of time and then Mobley also being out. And not to mention Rubio, who was really good for them the first half of the season. And then I think he tore his ACL, but then he got traded at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, Rubio was looking like a sixth man of the year candidate there for a little while before his injury. So that was definitely a tough loss for them. And obviously losing Jarrett Allen. for 5 weeks is what you said is also a huge loss, just because he's kind of like the anchor on that defense. And I mean, losing a top defender on your team is always tough.
Yeah, him and Mobley as the back line of that defense was just really carrying that team to so many wins. Like, obviously Garland has been the driving force of that offense this year, but Allen and Mobley at like running that defense was just carrying that team to so many wins. But I'm really excited to watch this Cavs team in a playoff like atmosphere and seeing what they can do, especially Darius Garland, as he's just such a fun player to watch and has definitely had some big time moments this year. So we'll see if he can carry that on to postseason play.
And it's one game, so it's like anything could realistically happen. So, I mean, if the Cavs do win, then kudos to them. That's a big time win.
Yeah, you never know. Brooklyn could have a rough shooting night. Cleveland shoots the ball well, and we get a game that goes down to the wire. And I'm sure most NBA fans would love that, considering I think most people are going to be cheering for the Cavaliers in this game.
For sure, for sure.
All right, are you ready to move on to the second game of tomorrow's slate of playing games?
Yeah, I think we covered that game pretty well.
So the 9:30 game is the Clippers in Minnesota for the 7-8 matchup in the West. Start off with your pick and tell me why.
I'm going to go Minnesota here. I just feel like, I mean, I don't want to count the Clippers out just because, I mean, they're a veteran team and have kind of played very well, or they played super well in the playoffs last year without Kawhi. So, I mean, they're going to definitely, I think this will be the closest game out of most of these games, and it's going to be the most fun game, I do think, out of all of these. But I mean, Minnesota, they just have so many offensive like options with Edwards, D'Lo, and Cat. I just think that those three will kind of have too much offense for the Clippers team. Like, I don't know if the Clippers are going to be able to hang with them offensively. It kind of depends on like if Paul George is on and playing super well, which I mean could very well happen, but I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Yeah, I think this is close to a coin flip game. I think we're going to get a really competitive game here. Might be a little chippy with Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, Marcus Morris? Yeah, Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson. I think we could get some chippiness in this game, which should be super fun to watch. But if I had to choose, I think I'm going to go with the Clippers in this game. I think I like their veteran leadership, and I trust Paul George more than anybody in this game. Like, come down to the wire, I trust him with the ball more than anybody on Minnesota. And I think that's what's going to get my pick here, is just having the best player on the court, which I think is Paul George. And just the way the Clippers have played all year, even though like George has been out, and obviously Kawhi is still out, but I just think this Clippers team is just super solid and very well coached. I think Ty Lue is going to have this team playing super prepared to play this game, and I think it will be a game that comes down to the wire, and Paul George, I think, is going to close this one out.
Yeah, Ty Lue is a super good playoff coach. I mean, he makes good adjustments and a 7-game series, and he showed that all last postseason. But I just like Cat's matchup in this one. I think he's gonna kind of have his way with Zubac, and he's just gonna drop or score a lot of points on him, and kind of just carry this Wolves team. And I do think D'Lo has kind of the calmness, and he's been in the playoffs before, so he kind of has that veteran leadership, I guess. I mean, he's been in one series, but when he was in that series with the Nets a few years ago, he did play in really well, And I just also trust D'Lo to kind of show up too in one game.
Yeah, but I think Minnesota definitely has the talent to outscore the Clippers, but I just like the Clippers' experience and just like the ability for Lou to make adjustments in this game. And I think Minnesota could be flustered with some of the adjustments that Ty Lue makes during this game. And Minnesota hasn't really experienced like playoff level defense as a team. Like Cat's been in one playoff series, D'Lo's been in one playoff series, and obviously hasn't made the playoffs before. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds to playoff level defense and just playing in the half court a lot more than they're used to, because Minnesota is a team that definitely loves to play in transition, and they're a team that likes to play fast. So if the Clippers can slow this game down, I think Minnesota's going to have a tougher time scoring than they're used to, because this season they've obviously been one of the best scoring teams in the league. So I'm interested to see how Minnesota just responds to like the playoff level basketball.
Yeah, but I do think that Minnesota does have a good leader and very good veteran player in Patrick Beverley. He's been in a lot of playoff series and is just kind of one of those chippy people. And playing his old team, I think he's going to kind of get this T-Wolves, young T-Wolves team going. They're going to be ready for this game.
Yeah, I think this is, if I had to choose, this is probably the must game watch, like the game that I would say is must watch, just because I think it's going to come down to the wire, and I think it's also just going to be super chippy and competitive and super fun to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, your point on Paul George, just trusting him the most in this game, obviously, just because of all the like playoff matchups he's had, and he's just obviously the best player on the court in this game. But I do think that the T-Wolves, I do think they're going to be able to get out in transition. I don't think this is going to be, because I mean, in seven game series, you kind of see like more of the game slowing down, because I mean, they eventually, like, you're studying this team for seven games, but this is like a one game and you don't really have like too much to look at, I guess, or like learn about the team as you play them and kind of what they want to do.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely be able to get out in transition, but like the careless turnovers and just like the stupid mistakes that you see in the regular season, those won't be happening for the Timberwolves, and they won't be able to capitalize on that. But yeah, they'll definitely force turnovers still with players like Beverly and Vanderbilt and some of their super intense defenders and like just, yeah, I mean, defenders that cause havoc.
They're not so good defenders are definitely going to have to step up and lock in on defense like D'Lo and Cat.
Yeah, and I think the Clippers are also probably going to, we're going to see them go to the small ball lineup with like four forwards on the court, and
you think that's going to cause trouble for Cat?
Yeah, I just want to see how Cat responds to that, just because I know he's gotten some hate for his defense over the years, but I think this year he's been much improved on that side of the ball. So if he can respond to that lineup and be able to move his feet and just stay with his guy, I think that's going to be a big factor in this game, just how they'll handle that lineup, because I know Ty Lue loves going to that lineup, and that's often where this Clippers team has been most dangerous over the last couple years.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's the matchup that I'm most excited to see.
Yeah. But now we can move on. That's the must-watch matchup.
Yeah. Now we can move on to Wednesday's games. And the 7 o'clock game, we got the 9-10 matchup in the East. We got Charlotte at Atlanta. And I'll start off with the pick in this game. I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think they've definitely had a disappointing season, especially coming off Eastern Conference Finals. But recently, they've been playing pretty well. In the last 10 games, they're 7-3. And their defense has been playing much better, but the main reason I trust Atlanta is just because I think Trae Young has proven to be a killer in playoff basketball, and also I really like the matchup with DeAndre Hunter against Miles Bridges. I think Hunter is going to do a great job slowing that offensive weapon for the Hornets. And then just watching Charlotte in the play-in last year, they just played a horrible game, and they allowed Indiana to score, like, I think they scored around, like, 150, and they just got blown out. Not that that team's super similar to this team, but still this year Charlotte's just been a below-average defense, and I think even in this play-in game, I don't think their defense is going to be great. I just don't think they have really good defenders anywhere on this team. And you look at Mason Plumlee and their big men, I don't think those guys are great defenders either. So I think Atlanta's going to score at will in this game. And when it comes down to if this game is close, I think Trae Young is the best closer by far in this game. So that's why I'm going to take the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, both of these teams are not very good on the defensive end of the ball. They haven't been all year. But I'm also going to go with the Hawks just because of how they have been playing as of late. And their defense has picked up as of late. I think they're like the 13th ranked or 9th ranked defense over the past 2 weeks or something like that. So, I mean, they're kind of playing super well at the right time. And just like you said, Trae Young's the best closer in this game, the best player on the floor. And I think just that run last year to the Eastern Conference Finals kind of has this Hawks team kind of used to these kind of games. So I do think they're definitely going to have their way with Charlotte offensively. And I just think Charlotte's youth also is just going to play a big role in this and how bad they are defensively as well.
Yeah, I think this will be a super fun game to watch. I don't know how competitive it will be. Just, I think it will be a lot of up and down scoring. But for the most part, I think this game should be super fun to watch and a lot of high-level scoring. But yeah, let's move on to the next game. We got the 9-10 matchup in the Western Conference. We got San Antonio going to New Orleans for the 9-10 matchup. Give me your pick for this game.
I'm actually going to go with the Spurs here. I know the Pelicans do have kind of all the veterans that have been in these situations, like McCollum, Valanciunas, and even Brandon Ingram's also played in a playoff series, I do think. Or no, play-in game. But I do think I just like DeJounte Murray, and I just like Popovich as a coach. I think he's gonna have this team ready to play in this game. And I mean, the Spurs haven't been much worse than the Pelicans this year with their roster, and I kind of just trust Greg Popovich to have these young boys ready to play. And I think DeJounte's gonna have a heck of a game. I don't think that the guards on New Orleans can hang with DeJounte, or like guard DeJounte, and I do think that DeJounte is going to be able to play super good defense on McCollum all game, so I'm going to go with the Spurs.
Yeah, I think this is another game. I think the Western Conference games in general are going to be more competitive than the games in the East, but for this game, I'm going to have to go with the Pelicans. I mean, I really like the Spurs team too, but DeJounte is also coming off of, like, I think he missed 4 or 5 games with some serious illness, not COVID related, but he had like an 140 degree fever, and I think he played one game before the season ended, but I don't think he got many minutes, so I'm going to be interested to see how he responds to, like, playoff level basketball just coming off of a sickness and not playing for a couple weeks. And then also, this Spurs team is just obviously their direction is like developing their young players and also still trying to be a competitive team, but I just don't know how much I trust like Devin Vassell and Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson. I mean, those are all players that I love and I believe have great futures, but I don't know how ready they are to like compete at a high level yet in playoff games. And then on the Pelican side of the game, I think they just have so many weapons, and I just think they have better offensive weapons than the Spurs do. I think McCollum and Ingram can be really big late in this game if the game's close, and I think the Spurs really only have one guy that can close a game, and if he's having an off night, then I don't think the Spurs have a great chance, so that's why I'm taking the Pelicans.
DeJounte, I just looked it up. He played 32 minutes in their final game.
How do you play? What, like, what do you shoot from the field?
Let me see.
So, yeah, that is a good sign that he played 32 minutes, but yeah, he missed a couple weeks from an illness, so.
Yeah, because I saw his tweet about returning for, like, the final game or whatever.
But also, this Pelicans team has just been... This team started, I think, like, 3-16, and the fact that they're the 9 seed after that is super impressive. They just have been a super solid team ever since their start of the season, and ever since McCollum came to the team, they've just been really tough to beat, and yeah. And then you got Herb Jones to guard DeJounte. I think that could be a really fun matchup to watch on that side of the ball.
They're going to throw Herb on DeJounte.
I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. It's the best defender they got.
I mean, I guess, but then you have little tiny CJ guarding Devin Vassell and or Keldon Johnson at times. But I mean, yeah, I guess you do have to kind of take away the best player on the floor for the Spurs, so.
Yeah, I mean, this is another
shot
game that...
5 of 15. So like you said, not very good.
So yeah, he had a rough game, but that's expected after missing.
I mean, and it might have been good for him to kind of get that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I just trust Greg Popovich more than Willie Green. Willie Green in this game to kind of coach the Spurs well and make adjustments, just like you said about Ty Lue.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another matchup that I think both Western Conference games are going to be super, super close games and great nightcaps for the play-in tournament. So, do we want to go and take our picks in the 8-9 game, or do we want to stay away from that?
I mean, we can. We had a consensus pick on the in the East, but we were different.
Yeah, we both had
our West picks.
We both had Atlanta, Cleveland for the Eastern Conference game.
Yeah.
Okay, so that game would take place in Cleveland. I'm going to go with Atlanta in that game. I think, as hard as that is for me to say as a Cleveland fan, I just think Atlanta's really picked up their play in recent weeks, and Cleveland's just been on the decline with injuries and just haven't been playing great basketball. I think this is going to be another great game, but yeah, I just think Atlanta has more experience and they're just a team playing better basketball. But also, this game, a Darius Garland versus Trae Young matchup is just perfect for, like,
matchup.
Yeah, perfect for, like, the future of, like, the NBA. I think these are 2-point guards that are going to be competing against each other for a long time, and this will give us, like, a good preview for what will come in the years to come. But yeah, I think this is a super close game, comes down to the wire. I think it'll end up being who has a better performance, Trae Young or Darius Garland. in the closing minutes, but yeah. Who is your pick for this game?
I'm going to take Cleveland just because of their defensive ability and like how good they can be defensively. And Jared Allen's getting a game in against a super tough Nets team offensively. I think that'll be super good for him heading into this potential game against Atlanta. And yeah, I do like the Trae Young, Darius Garland matchup. That's going to be super fun to watch, just how they control both of those offenses and kind of run it throughout that game is going to be fun to see. But yeah, I just like Cleveland's defense against Atlanta, and I don't like Atlanta's scoring options all that much other than Trae Young. So I mean, if they can contain Trae Young a little bit, I do think that they're going to have a good chance to win.
Yeah, another game that would be super entertaining and matchups would be interesting to watch. Like, who would Cleveland throw on Trae Young? Would they give Isaac Okoro that matchup, or would they allow Trae Young to like put up 40 but allow nobody else to have a good night? Or then like who's gonna guard Darius Garland for Atlanta? Because I mean, they have DeAndre Hunter as their best defender, but Garland's a 6-foot guard that I think would easily get around Hunter. So, interested to see who they throw on Darius Garland, but yeah, super interesting matchup to watch. I think it'll come down to the wire and should be a great game if that's the matchup we get at that elimination game.
Yeah, and to your point about like the young talent of Trae Young and Darius Garland, in this whole plan, we're kind of getting to see a lot of like our future stars kind of playing these single elimination games, which is fun to see. Like, we have Trae Young and Darius Garland and Mobley, and then we have LaMelo playing for Charlotte and DeJounte playing for the Spurs, Brandon Ingram on the Pelicans, and then Minnesota has Kat and Anthony Edwards. So seeing all this young talent playing in these single elimination games that are big playoff atmosphere games is super cool to see already. And it's kind of going to give us a glimpse into the future a little bit.
Out of these eight teams, who do you think is going to, or I guess we're not going to see games in like each of these places, but out of like the home court advantage teams, who are you most excited to like see a playoff atmosphere in? Like, for example, like Minnesota hasn't had a playoff game in a long time. Like, that could be super fun to watch, but like, what's your favorite atmosphere like that you're looking forward to see?
Out of these like four matchups you're saying, or like even
so,
like,
yeah, I guess just
Atlanta and Cleveland. Like,
yeah, because we could get a game in Cleveland, which would be super fun, but like just start off with like the four games that we know for sure of, like who are you most excited to, what atmosphere are you most excited to watch?
I think the Atlanta crowd, I mean, all last playoffs they were super rocking crowd and were crazy during that whole run. And a young Charlotte team coming in, I think they're going to have that place rocking. And I mean, everyone knows how good Trae Young is in the playoffs, or how good he was last year in the playoffs. So I think if they're going to kind of have a lot of trust in him, and they're just going to try to get that team going so they can kind of sneak into the playoffs and hopefully make another run here.
Yeah, Atlanta fans are super passionate, and that home court advantage last year was super good for Atlanta, and it should be again this year if they get a chance to make it into the playoffs.
But yeah, the Minnesota crowd's also going to be crazy just because they haven't had a playoff atmosphere game in
forever. And I think that game's just going to be super chippy, and I think the fans are going to get into it too, so that's what I'm most excited to watch from like a fan standpoint.
But yeah, if Brooklyn does win, I think also the Cavs crowd's going to be super hyped finally back in the playoffs for like the first time ever since LeBron has like not been on the team. So
yeah, and Cleveland fans all year have been, they've had a really good crowd all year, even during the regular season. I think they've had one of the best fan bases this year, just watching their young team develop and win some games. But yeah, I would love to watch a Cleveland 8-9 matchup, even though I want Cleveland to beat Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I mean, Trae Young also just always plays with the crowd and kind of goes along with any trash talk they're giving him, so that would also be super fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, so do we want to make picks for the 8-9 matchup in the West? I know we had different picks for both games, didn't we?
Yeah. So, I mean, whoever you want to move on in one of them, I can move on the other one that I picked.
Well, so my matchup would be Minnesota against New Orleans in Minnesota, and I would have to go with Minnesota here. I just think the home court advantage would be big again, and I don't know. I like the talent more on Minnesota's team. I think Ant would have to step up and have a big game, and I think that'd be a high-scoring game, but I think Minnesota would come out on top, and yeah. I mean, I don't have much to say about that game. I think it's another coin flip game, but I would lean towards Minnesota.
Yeah, if it was your scenario, I'd also lean Minnesota. Again, I just don't see any of the Pelicans' bigs kind of handling Cat, and if Cat wants to score a ton and play super well, I think he can against New Orleans bigs. And I mean, also just D'Lo again. I don't know who guards D'Lo, because you kind of have to throw Herb Jones on Anthony Edwards. So yeah, I think just the overall talent just is in favor of Minnesota. But my matchup would be the Clippers Spurs, and I would go Clippers. Back to your point, Paul George is going to be the best player on the court. And those are two very well-coached teams in Popovich and Ty Lue. So, I mean, it would definitely be a battle, those two kind of trying to out-coach each other in a game like this. And I just think the Clippers have more veterans on that team and would kind of be ready to play a little bit more than the Spurs. I mean, because both teams are going to, both coaches are going to have both teams ready to play that game. So it kind of just comes down to talent at that point. And I do think the Clippers have more of that, and they do have the best player on the floor.
Yeah, and hopefully we're not going to see Greg Popovich's last game in these play-in tournaments. I know that's been thrown around as a rumor this year that, I mean, he passed I don't remember who it was, but he's now number one on the all-time winning list, so a lot of people think he might retire after this year, but that's something to watch during the play-in tournament. Just appreciate Greg Popovich while we have him, because this could be one of his last years, or if not, his last year.
Definitely. Shout out, Pop.
Yeah, shout out, Pop. All right, so I think we kind of just wanted to talk about that real quick, and just like the consequences of playing your stars and like meaningless.
Like your aunt, where you like stepped back and just, I mean, unfortunate that his calf strained on like a push off and like trying to change his momentum. But I mean, without Luka, the Mavs, they kind of just get wiped by Utah, which is very sad. But hopefully it's not a super major strain. I was actually watching a video on it about like the different muscles that could have been affected in his calf, and just kind of like the timetable for each muscle. And it kind of varied from like 3 days to like 16 days. So if he's out for 16 days, he's missing most, if not all, of the first round.
Yeah, and hopefully Luka, if it is a mild injury and he can play through it, that he'll be able to do that without like injuring it even more.
Yeah, and so, I don't know if the Mavericks want to take that chance on that potentially happening, like Kevin Durant in the finals playing on a calf strain, which put more stress on his Achilles and ended up rupturing his Achilles in a finals game. So,
especially knowing that Luka is the driving force of this team, and if he has to miss any period of time in the playoffs, they're probably not going to win that any given series, because he is like that whole offense and everything runs through him. So if he's going to miss any given time in a series, you might as well just shut him down and like let your other guys play in a series, even though you know you're probably not going to be able to compete that well. But it'd be a real bummer if Luka is not able to get healthy for the Utah series.
Yeah, if Luka's not playing, the only way the Mavericks move on is if Donovan Mitchell just wants to be done with the Jazz, and he just loses on purpose. That's the only way they lose.
Yeah, which that's not going to happen. Donovan's not going to lose on purpose. But if Luka's healthy, Dallas is going to win this series.
I'm confident in that as well.
I'm pretty confident.
And I would that would Mavs Suns would be a fun series as well in round two.
For sure. Luka versus the best team.
And hey, Luka could be playing his potential next All-Star teammate in Rudy Gobert, so.
Very true. A lot of rumors going around about that this year.
And I like, just again on the Luka thing, I think if there's like any potential risk of him re-injuring it, but he could play on it, I do think you just sit him, just because you have to think the future as well more than kind of this series. Because I don't know if this team can make a finals run this year. So
yeah, and they've had a great year. Something the Mavs fans should be super excited about, but still, when you look at this team, I don't think many people see them as contenders in any way. But a super good team for sure.
Yeah, I do have one more thing I want to touch on. You sent out a tweet last night once we found out that Philly was going to be playing Toronto. And I think it was along the lines of Toronto in six. I want your thoughts on
this series. I did tweet that out. All right, so, I mean, me and Roach are going to cover every single playoff series once the play-in tournament ends and we know all the matchups, but since he brought up my tweet, I'll touch on the 4-5 matchup in the East a little bit. So we got Toronto and Philly, and not that I think Toronto is like more of a contender than Philly, I just think the matchup is perfect for this Toronto team to, I guess it would be an upset for most people, but I think the matchup's perfect with the way Nick Nurse has played Joel Embiid throughout his career. I know that Joel has said in the past, like, in quote, that Toronto's his least favorite team to play. And I think a main part of that is the way Toronto plays defense. They have so many, like, long athletic wings flying around, just, like, coming on doubles from everywhere to come after Joel Embiid. And I think that really upsets like the flow of his game, and if he can't get in a rhythm in like 4 or 5 of these games and just has off nights, I don't think James Harden's playing at a high enough level to carry this Philadelphia offense to win these games. And I think if Joel's not great in this series, then I think Toronto's gonna be able to win these games. Like I said, in six, but I mean, obviously, I think this game could go to 7, or I don't think Toronto could win in 5, but I think Toronto in 6 or 7 is my pick. And then also you got Matisse Thybulle, who would guard Fred VanVleet. He won't be able to play in games in Toronto because of the vaccine. And I just think Pascal Siakam has been playing his best basketball of his career, and most people think he's made enough push late in the season to make All-NBA third team. And then you got Scotty Barnes and Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa, OG Anunoby, Siakam, Thaddeus Young. You got all these guys to just throw around, all those big bodies to throw around at Joel Embiid. And I just think this is going to be a super fun matchup, and this is my upset pick of the first round. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that series.
Yeah, no, the Matisse thing is definitely super interesting. Losing him in all the Toronto games is going to be super tough, just because he is their best on-ball defender, and it would definitely have played a big role in slowing down VanVleet for Philly. But and also your point on the long wings kind of playing small ball against Joel Embiid, that's also a fair point into why Toronto could potentially win this series. I just think, real quick, I just think James has not been super aggressive offensively, maybe trying to get Joel that MVP, and I do think that he's going to kind of go into his offensive mode here for the playoffs and be way more aggressive than he has been for the Sixers since he's gotten there. But we'll see.
Yeah, I also love the matchup for Toronto against Harden too. I think they're going to be able to cause a lot of chaos for him on the perimeter. I think this Toronto team is just so interesting to watch on the defensive side of the ball. I love watching just their ability to like switch 1 through 5 and just Scotty Barnes picking up 94 feet, and I just think they're going to cause a lot of chaos in this series for Philadelphia. And I also think Nick Nurse is a top 3 coach in the NBA.
Yeah, and yeah. The Toronto's kind of like that team that we touched on, or like the long athletic wings that can switch on, like play guard 1 through 5 and have super good switchability on the defensive end. Toronto has so many of those players. So Harden's definitely going to just have so many good defenders that can stick with him. So that's definitely a fair point.
Yeah. And Gary Trent Jr., also a pretty good defender too. Forgot to mention him, but
and I mean, yeah. Freddie's pretty, he's small, but he's a pretty good defender.
He's a great defender. They just have, yeah, a lot of great defenders on this Toronto team, and definitely a odd system they play on defense. Just guys running around out there. It's not a very normal defense that you see. But yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's all we were going to cover today. I know that after these play-in games, we'll get an episode up as soon as we can covering each matchup, and we'll try to get as much content as we can out during this playoff run. I know me and Roach are super excited to watch these playoffs, as it should be some great competitive basketball, especially for me, especially in the Eastern Conference once the first round starts. I'm super excited to watch these matchups, and we should get
so many great matchups in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so many good matchups in the East.
Probably one of the most excited.
Other than maybe
I've
the 3-6, but
yeah, one of the most excited I've been for a playoff run in a long time. I think the league's just so deep, and it should be super fun.
I mean, yeah, I'm thinking this could be right up there with 2016 in terms of amazing playoff basketball. So let's just hope everything goes well. No major injuries, and teams just stay how they are right now. And Luka returns before they play.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed. Hope everybody enjoys their playoff basketball, and we'll catch you next time.
See you guys.